Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. Paul is writing, inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your holy word, for it is always deeper than we know. Every time we read it, every time we hear it preached, it causes us to grow deeper. Or it at least challenges us to grow deeper and stronger in the faith. Lord God in heaven, have your holy word to find a lodging place in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Have your Holy Spirit to convict us where we need to be convicted, to the point where we will actually change our behavior and do differently and be different. For we understand tonight, Lord, as I was led by you to share with someone today, they can change with your help. You want them to change, and you will give your help. But their will is involved. Our will is involved. And we must make a decision to let you help us change, for you will not make us change. We need to pray. We need to seek your face. We need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to repent. And you are involved, and our will is involved. So grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to do that which is pleasing in your sight. and to do your will and not ours. Let your will be done. Break us down, make us and mold us to be what you would have us to be. Crush us to the earth so that we can be the shining lights and witnesses that you want us to be. Your holy word preached and your holy word read, your holy word taught has a crushing effect on our lives. And you have other mechanisms to crush us down to the ground and break us and make us and mold us so that we can be beautiful in you. Help us to die to self. Help us to humble ourselves. Glorify your holy name. Save those who are lost. And revive those who are saved all by your might, in your power, your unction of your Holy Spirit. And glorify your holy name and lift up Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. For his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, this message is tentatively titled Prayer, Pain, but still preaching. Prayer, pain, and preaching. As you know, we've been in a mini-series within a series titled Remembering and Remembering, Thanking, and Praying. And now we're going to move on in the same passage and shift and title the message for right now, Prayer, Pain, and Preaching, Part 1, Praying Through the Bible message in this long series, Number 310. As you know, we are in a rather long but powerful series of messages titled Praying Through the Bible, a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. The purpose of this series is to encourage you to pray. No matter how feeble, no matter how you might feel, to pray to the God of the Bible, to challenge you to pray, to encourage you to pray, yea, even to motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. For it's one thing to read about the God of the Bible, it's another thing to pray to the God of the Bible and to know him intimately. And praying will bring that about, because when you pray to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what will happen? God will talk back to you. God will direct you. God will lead you, guide you, and help you along the way in life. And you will know that it is God. I have said it many times in the past, it is a tragedy and a crime for man to leave his family without praying with them in the morning. I would add that it is a tragedy and a crime in the Christian community, as far as I'm concerned, for anybody to start their day without praying to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in faith believing. I don't care if you have to you have a meeting down at Starbucks stop and pray with whoever you're meeting with, or McDonald's, or wherever you go. Make sure you pray first thing in the morning, and I guarantee you what you are concerned about, you will find out that you may not need to be concerned about it. That which you have planned to do on your to-do list, oftentimes God will erase about 5 of the 10 things you were planning on doing. Prayer is very important, and God will tell you, you don't need to do those things. I've already taken care of that. You don't need to go over there because they're not going to be there. The right person is not going to be there, so don't waste your time. You might want to call these people before you go running over there. By the grace of God, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 309 messages in this series. This is message number 310, titled, tentatively, Prayer, Pain, and Preaching, Part 1. And ladies and gentlemen, as we continue looking at Philippians in connection to prayer, Philippians chapter 1, we find that Paul's themes of gratefulness, thanksgiving, and prayer remain even as he describes his own painful plight of imprisonment and because of preaching the gospel. And not only that, some trying to preaching the gospel in a facetious way, trying to cause him, Paul, discomfort and trouble and problems. But Paul was so beyond that, as by the grace of God, you need to get to that point where you're so beyond such foolishness that you say things like, long as the gospel is preached, I don't care if you ridicule me or not. I don't care if you poke fun at me or not. I don't care if your church grows faster than mine and you, because you're preaching differently than I am. As long as Christ is preached, amen, somebody. Oftentimes, while we're praying and preaching, there is pain. In fact, the best preaching comes from the person who oftentimes has experienced the most pain. I'm reminded of a preacher by the name of Raymond Hancock. I used to love to hear him preach when I was in Bible college. You know, in Bible college, they have chapel services that you have to go to. Now, the liberal chapel services, you don't have to go. But the Bible-believing colleges, you better be there or you will flunk out. Or they'll put you out. And so I used to love to hear Pastor Raymond Hancock. This is an old white preacher. He was not that exciting, but he blessed my heart because he was so transparent. He was so honest. He was so real in his preaching. And he preached a message one time. I shall never forget this. We're talking about almost 40 years ago. I shall never forget. That's the power of preaching. It's the power of preaching. You never know what God... Now, he doesn't know how much he impacted my life. I think I went by his church and told him how much I appreciated him one time, but he doesn't really know me that well. I was just a student, and he was a pastor of a church there in Atlanta. And one time he read back and preached a sermon titled, From the Book of Job, Doest thou retain thine integrity? In other words, while you're going through hell, while you're going through deep waters, doest thou retain thine integrity. Little did I know he had a wayward son. He had a prodigal son. He had raised up in church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night services. But his son turned against the church. Grew his hair long and went away from God. Broke his heart. One of those fathers that he wore his emotions on his shoulders. He was a pastor. He was a pastor. Had a pastor's heart. So it broke his heart. Well, he has saved many other families and many other children, and here his son out there painting the town red. And one of these devilish sons who they won't move and try to paint the town red across the country. They want to stay right there in the town where the church is and try to get back at you and hurt you. I believe that that morning when he was preaching chapel, he pulled out a hanky. He shed some tears. He broke his heart. And he went off with that theme. Do as thou retain thine integrity. He wrote a book with that sermon in it, I do believe, titled, I Think I'll Go On Anyhow. Amen, somebody. I Think I'll Go On Anyhow. Serving the Lord, praying, and preaching in pain. How many pastors right now, they're praying and they're preaching in pain. And there's nothing like family betrayal. People in your family who turn out to be Judases. You might recall Job's wife, when everything was going well, and they were sleeping on the new style mattresses. They went to the mall every Saturday to pick up new stuff to bring back to their mansion. All of the children had their mansions as well. And they would sit around and drink wine and eat and talk about the things they bought for their household, how they went down to Home Depot in the land of where Job lived at, how they went to the furniture place from Switzerland, how they went down to Rooms to Go, and they didn't need to change the room out, but they did it anyway at Rooms to Go. Just picked up a room and put it right in. And they just flat were enjoying themselves. But then trouble came. And Job's wife looked at him all messed up and racked in pain. And all her children, all her babies are gone. All the material things are gone. And here comes somebody else with some more trouble. I'm reminded of a preacher who preached on that chapter that showed people coming one after another. Always somebody left behind after a disaster to come back and tell what happened. And he read back and preached a message titled, If It Ain't One Thing, It's Another. But Job's wife said to Job, her husband, they had all those beautiful babies together, and God had blessed them. They were rich. They truly were prosperous. They had it going on. They had twin Lincolns in the garage. They enjoyed eating out. But Job's wife ran back and said, just that quick, why don't you just curse God and die? Even she knew that if he cursed God, he would die. If not physically, spiritually. But Job retained his integrity. Amen, somebody. Job said, "Woman, you speak like one of the foolish women, the women who've never known God. You're betraying me. If he slay me, yet will I love him and serve him. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Paul said, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Yes, I'm in jail. Yes, I'm going through. You got to understand, this is not the kind of jail that Manafort is in right now, with a television set and a ping pong table and a gym to go work out in. Are you kidding me? Three meals a day? No. This was down in the slop and sewer and the mud. Dark and dank and no bathroom, no toilet. Are you kidding me? And so, beloved, while our focus verse in this passage right now, today, is verse 19. We're looking at the whole context because it sheds light on how we ought to view the painful life situations that we find ourselves involved in, especially if those situations come while we are engaged in God's work, we are preaching the Word of God, we are praying. I know some of you feel right now like this. You say, "Pastor, I'm praying. Preacher, I'm praying." And man, it seems like the more I pray, the more things get worse and worse. I'm praying and I'm driving down the road for a job interview, and the right tire not only goes flat, it explodes on the highway. I'm praying and seem like my family life does not get better, it gets worse. My wife is betraying me, my husband is betraying me, my teenagers who used to love God and love Jesus and always had a smile on their face and used to love me and wrote me all kinds of loving notes, now they hardly speak to me. They act like they hate me. And I'm praying till I'm blue in the face and I'm black. But yet I'm praying, and it seems like it's getting worse. I feel like taking Job's wife's advice, but I dare not do so. Preacher, I sang the song, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," but I don't mean it. Because I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. We join the club with Paul. Paul does not view his imprisonment as a bad thing. How do you view your situation? I have some advice for you. Always view your present situation as a good thing. Amen, somebody. This is not to say that things that are bad are not bad, because like one preacher said many years ago, things that are different are not the same, and he's right. Now, acknowledge the negativity. But as far as you're concerned, spiritually, it's a good thing. You're going to somehow learn something from it. You're going to somehow overcome it. You're excited about what God is going to do next to get you out of this predicament, out of this mess. Amen, somebody. Paul rejoices over his situation because it has given occasion for the preaching of the gospel to increase. Every painful situation, every difficult situation present some wonderful opportunities and privileges. Always remember that. One time in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the early church, the church was under great persecution. And the church shocked the world, because you know what the church did? They didn't go run and hide. They went and ran and preached the gospel everywhere they went. So the satanic, demonic persecution motivated the church and moved the church and mobilized the church to spread the gospel even faster. Can somebody say amen? Oh yes. It's a good thing. Dr. John Walford writes, the experience of Paul suffering in prison gives remarkable insight into the purpose of God in permitting the affliction of his children. As is so often the case, surely the wrath of man shall praise the Lord. What appears on the surface to be a great tragedy, an effective preacher and missionary rendered immobile for years in the most fruitful period of his life and ministry, turns out to be an effective platform of personal witness. You're not going to understand this without God helping you. In a time for quiet meditation, which permitted the writing of the precious prison epistles, which with the epistle to the Romans are the heart of Paul's revelation from God to the church. And we are preaching from it tonight to a worldwide audience. I don't know how many hundreds are watching right now, but it is in the hundreds. And they hear me preach from a book that Paul wrote in the dark dungeon of prison to the church and to the world. And then Dr. Walver goes on to the Philippian Christians, grieving at Paul's confinement. The purpose of God in Paul's suffering is revealed as he says, The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Don't you worry about me, Paul was saying. The gospel is being spread abroad. Now, hardly anybody knew exactly what was happening during this time. Paul probably had an idea. That's why he was motivated by the Holy Spirit of God to write what he wrote. Maybe Paul had a vision that one day I and thousands, yea, hundreds, and yea, millions rather, of preachers will preach from this book that he penned in a dungeon. The furtherance of the gospel. Maybe he didn't, but God knew it. Praying, pain, and preaching. Instead of hindering the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his circumstances had served to extend his witness and to testify to his triumph over suffering. Every pastor, every evangelist, every missionary worth their salt, they know exactly what Dr. Walford is talking about and what Paul experienced. Maybe not to the degree he experienced it, but you understand. Every preacher has to go through those dark times so that he can come out shining like a light, reflecting the light of Jesus Christ to a dying, suffering, confused, mixed up world. Sometimes we make a great deal over praying for deliverance from suffering. But we forget that God often intends to use our suffering for his glory. I think about Dr. Tony Evans, Dr. Lois Evans, Priscilla Evans, Crystal Evans, Anthony Jr., and the other son, I forget his name. Last week this time, they they had heard shocking news that their family member at 38 went to bed and did not wake up, died at the age of 38. They were so moved, they let the world know about it. And God used them and used the pain of that death to comfort thousands of people who are going through similar situations. They were hurting. They were broken. They were taken aback at the news. They knew where she was. So there was not a whole lot of boo-hooing and crying, but it was painful, especially when you have a mother of four daughters. Daughters need their mothers, especially a good mother, very badly, particularly through the teen years. And that's what was painful. That's what was shocking. 38 years old. But God, through their brokenness and through their humility, they didn't play the game, the prosperity gospel game, that nothing can touch our family. We're the king's kids, we're this and we're that. No, they didn't play that game, that trying to cover it up and lying and not letting people know what's going on, and people got to hear it through the grapevine and all this kind of thing. No, they came out with it truthfully and honestly, and let it be known that, hey, yes, God has used us. Yes, God has blessed us to write books and to preach to crowds, but we're going through like everybody else. And while we're going through our pain, we want you to see the rawness of it, and we want to help you go through your pain. It's called crucifixion. It's called dying to self and being a blessing to others. We need more of it in the church. It was refreshing to see it. And so with that, ladies and gentlemen, I have so much more to say to you tonight. But just understand that God will allow pain in your life for the furtherance of the gospel. God will allow pain in your life to break you down so that you can be a broken blessing to others. And you'll be amazed and how God will use you if you'd allow him to work on you and break you down to the ground and help you die to self, where you get to the point and you don't care who knows what. You just want to be a blessing and an encouragement to people as we all go through this world of woe. And if you're called to preach, you might go through more than others. But that's by design. Praying, pain, and preaching. Always understand that the gospel is not bound. Stand flat-footed and preach the gospel through your pain. Stand flat-footed and preach the word of God through your pain. I guaranteed you, in the words of Sammy Madison, I guaranteed you. I don't know why he always used the past tense. He was a Columbian graduate. and excellent with words, but he was quoting how the old saints, his father and them, used to talk. I guarantee you that you'll be blessed yourself if you keep on preaching through your pain and keep on praying through your pain. I'm talking about the kind of praying that you don't feel anything. You're kind of numb. You really don't know how it's going to work out. You would like to be on the mountaintop, but the truth is you're in the valley. And you got to pray anyhow. I mean, you don't know if you're going to make it or not, but you've got to pray. You've got to do like Dr. Raymond Hancock and say, you know what, I think I'll go on anyhow. I don't feel anything, but I think I'll go on anyhow. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I think I'll go on anyhow. I don't know if my son is going to come back to the Lord or not, but I think I'll go on anyhow. I don't know if my wife is going to come back or not, but I think I'm going to go on anyhow by the grace of God. The debts are high and the money is low. I don't know how we're going to survive, but I'm going to go on anyhow. Amen, somebody. I'm going to pray through the pain. I'm going to preach through the pain for the glory of God. And I pray that you will do that in your life, whether you are called to preach or not. We all have a ministry, whatever your ministry is. I have a daughter who ministers to the children. I keep on ministering to the children. I have another daughter who serves in administration. Keep on administrating. Keep on praying. Keep on serving through the pain. And God will bless you. God will see you through. It may not come when you think it ought to come, but as the old folks used to say, God will always come right on time. Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God, we thank you and we praise you for showing up and showing out again. We don't know how you do it, but we thank you for doing it. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Word. We thank you for the gift of salvation, Lord. The older we get in you, the less we understand it all, but we believe it all, and we thank you for it all. And we're going to be even more amazed by it all in time to come. And so, Lord, grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit as we go through weirdness, as we go through shocking times in life, stunning times, perilous times, strange times, difficult times, precarious situations. Lord, help us to pray on, help us to preach on, help us to serve on, help us to give on, for that is a ministry as well. By your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. For your glory, praise, and honor. Like Paul, your servant. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And so, ladies and gentlemen, before I leave you tonight, if you're with us tonight and you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in the free pardon of your sins, your first prayer, if you will, needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin always. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Sin brings about death to everything. Death to your life physically. Death to relationships. Death to opportunities. Death to everything. Privileges. We die physically because of our sins. We also die spiritually. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell. If we don't trust Christ as Savior. So that leads me, thirdly, for you to understand that you need to accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now tonight. Hell is a reality. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." By the way, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And I believe that Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers living today. Hell is an awful place. A place of an agonizing memory. Hell is a place of painful gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of constant burning. Hell is an awful place. Hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. That's why God sent me here tonight to tell you this, the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you. If you're living in this world right now, God loves you. No matter what you have done, no matter what you're doing, who you are doing it with, God still loves you. And he wants you to be saved. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life." The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved." That means you do not have to join a church to be saved. You do not have to be baptized to be saved. You do not have to give any money to be saved. All of those things are good and wonderful, but they can't save you. You say, I'm already a member of a church. That does not matter. You say, I got baptized at the age of 12 at the Episcopalian church. That does not matter. Do you remember a day when you were lost and you trusted Christ as Savior and you have not been the same since? Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, was buried and rose again. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he rose again by the power of God for you and for me, so that we can live eternally with him in heaven. And I believe that God sent Jesus, and Jesus died more for us to go to heaven to be with them than to even save us from hell. But he has to save us from hell to save us to heaven. And so all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. All you have to do is believe in him who did that and pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? saved from hell and a life of misery and an eternity full of misery and pain, and saved to heaven to enjoy the wonderful bliss of heaven with God and Jesus in their fellowship. It's a great deal, and it is a great gift, and you should receive it. And I invite you to do that tonight, and I'll be glad to lead you in prayer to accept it, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Please follow me in prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of your Son, Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by dishonesty, by bearing false witness, by stealing, by lusting after people and things, by taking your name in vain, and other sins. I understand that I deserve hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon me, and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, to turn from my evil ways, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.